Can I speak candidly, Sue? So some of y'all told me I couldn't do that no more. We've kind of had this like acoustic groove with the worship, and I'm feeling it, man. Even on Elevate, we've kind of had this. It's almost, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling it. Maybe I'm the only one. I want to talk this morning about arguments. So husbands, I want you to really pay attention. And none of the husbands laugh because they were like, be chill, man. Be chill. So I was getting ready this morning and I was talking to Brittany because, as you know, I always have to run my outfit by her before I leave the house to make sure that I don't look, you know, like some kind of mistake has happened, like something, you know, I don't want to get stopped by the police and them say, oh, whoa, wait a minute, you got to go home and change. You look ridiculous. So I said, you know, I'm just gonna, Brittany, I'm gonna kind of go casual a little today, because I said, man, I want to do my best and be presentable, and I don't want people watching the video to turn it off and just listen to the audio because the pastor's dressed so funny. I said, but man, it's so hot. I said, this is just about survival today, so we're just going to survive. If we can live through making it to church and not spontaneously combust because it's Louisiana and it's July and this humidity is ridiculous, then we're good. So that's kind of where we're at. But no, I want to talk about how to win an argument. This is a very important sermon. This may be the most important sermon you hear in the next 20 minutes. So my title this morning is How to Win an Argument. So again, husbands, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, pay close attention because you will need this fact for the rest of your life. I win at least 80% of Brittany and I arguments that we have. I win 80% of them. Don't ask her on that. I don't need you to check that fact. I just need you to believe me. Up here. I'm up here. Okay, folks. I'm up here. I want to read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting on verse 3. If your pastor can find it, here it is. And it says, for though we live, this is the Apostle Paul, he's writing in kind of defending his ministry. Some people were questioning him about some things. And so he says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's so good. Thank you, Brother Paul, for writing that. Because everything that he just said should be a number one pick in every Christian's playbook of their everyday. That's when we behave, when we go through every day, we need to keep these things in mind. That not only are we not of this world, as we can read in the book of Romans, not only should we have our bodies set up as living sacrifices, that we should have our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit and our minds renewed by being in God's Word, but we got to remember that although we are in the world, we are not of the world, okay? And so we don't need to do things the way that the world does things. And I think that we live in a society that is very, how can I say this? It's very shock and awe. Okay, the news wants you to be shocked, because if you're shocked, then you're gonna click, and if you click, they get the cashola. Okay, and so the more people get shocked about something, about a news story, the more money can be made off of said news story. How many of you have been on the internet and seen a story teased, and it said maybe something, it always says something stupid, like this man, it'll say like Florida man is working on his plumbing and finds, and that'll be the end of it. it won't say the rest of the story. And so you're like, dude, I got to find, what did he find? And so you click on it, and then there'll be 30 pages of more clickbait. And then you finally find what he found, and it was just, you know, something stupid you don't even care about at that point. But that's, there's kind of a mania to it. And so even as Christians, a lot of times we get kind of drugged into that. We get pulled into that that kind of environment, especially if we spend a lot of time on social media. Can I challenge you, especially right now, take a break from social media? I'm seeing at least every week, I'm seeing more and more people saying, hey, I'm getting off social media for a little while. To start this year out, I did a month fast from social media. And I got to be really honest with you, it was difficult at first because I love being connected. I love staying connected to people and, you know, sharing stuff and you know, commenting and seeing what everybody's doing, what everybody's up to. And so it was a little difficult at first. But after the first couple of days, I thought, man, this feels really nice. There was almost a weight that was taken off my shoulder because I didn't have the fear of missing out. I didn't worry about missing out what everyone had going on. I just minded my own business. And so I want to challenge you, if you're on social media, think about taking a break if you haven't already. Because we get caught up in this stuff. And it can really be a mood killer. It can really, you know, you could just be full of the joy of the Holy Spirit, man, having the peace of Christ in your life. And when you plug into that stuff and you see this mess that the world is putting out and you let that come through that window of to your soul, your eye, man, come on, some nasty stuff. How many of you dads have a panic attack? I'm telling you when I realized I was a father. It wasn't at the hospital when they handed me this hollering baby, you know, beautiful little baby girl. That's not when I realized I was a dad. I realized I was a dad when they got big enough to leave the front door open. And I realized, because I went out and was like, you shut that door. What are you trying to air condition the whole neighborhood? And then I knew right then, I was, oh no, I'm somebody's dad. You know, when you go over to the thermostat and you say, what is that? What is that? Who put this on 68? It's 70s, the most economic, you know. And I might have just offended some people. But that's when I realized I was somebody's dad, you know, when I started nitpicking those kind of silly things. But your eye is a window to your soul. Just like if my kids are leaving my door open or crack their window for some reason, and that goodness, that beautiful, precious cold air sneaks out, that hot air comes in. And so the same kind of thing happens when we are looking at things and we are taking in this bad information, Sue, that gets in our spirit. And how many of you have been exposed to angry, nasty stuff, and it made you feel angry and nasty? Probably all of us. So I do challenge you this morning to disconnect from the world's stuff and remember and embrace what Brother Paul says, that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. I want to be transparent with you. One of my missions as your pastor is I want to be transparent, and I want to be real with you. Okay, and so I want to share a story, and it's a personal story, but we're talking about arguments, and I want to level with you. You know what? I'm a pastor. I'm a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God, but guess what? Sometimes I still get in arguments. That doesn't mean I'm not perfect, and I'm pretty sure that every one of us, especially if we're in a relationship or if we have children, we disagree with somebody. And my wife and I, we had an argument one time. It was the only argument we ever had. Just kidding. Maybe that day. This is the biggest argument Brittany and I have ever had in our marriage. And I'm just going to be real with you this morning. I want to be real with you because you're my family. And I believe in you and I want you to believe in me. And so I want to be real with you. So we had this argument, and at this time we were we were not doing great financially. We were very young. We'd only been married a few years. And we had not made the greatest decisions that we could have with our finances. And I remember I did an odd job for somebody. I was the youth pastor at that time, and that was kind of the name of the game, was odd jobs. And even if the job wasn't necessarily that odd, just the fact that I was doing it made it an odd job. But I had gotten paid, and I had a $20 bill in my wallet. And I was saving up. I wanted to get something, probably a duck call or something like that. And Brittany asked me if I had any cash. And let me tell you what I did. I did a really stupid thing. And I had to repent for this, but I lied to her. And I said, no, I don't have any cash. Because I was being selfish. And I didn't want my 20 bucks to get spent on something because I was saving it. I was saving it up, man. I was going to buy me something. And so after that, she went and she was getting something. My wallet was sitting on the kitchen counter. She picked it up, and she was, I can't remember what she was getting, a card or something she was just going to get out of my wallet. And I remember, uh-oh. And I was like, no, I'll get the card. You can put that down. It has a spider on it. You know, I just remember, you know, oh, no, this is bad. This is really bad. And so she looks in there, and she sees Andrew Jackson looking back at her. And she says, I thought you said you didn't have any cash. And I was like, you know, I forgot. And so it became a big deal, and we had this huge argument. And how stupid is that? How stupid is that? I want you to think about the biggest argument you've ever had, the biggest argument you've ever been involved in. And I want to ask you two questions. The first question is, did you win? And the second question is, did it matter? Third question's bonus, does it matter? The biggest argument you ever had, you gave so much energy to, and you got mad, and you said something, because that's what we do when we get in these arguments, folks. We say things that maybe we don't really mean, and we get mad, and we put these emotions that are nasty into there, and we get on the defense, and we begin to cut people down, and we don't represent Jesus very well in those moments, do we? And so I wanted to just speak a little bit about arguments today, because I think that there's a fail-proof way for a Christian person, someone that loves Jesus and loves people, to win every single argument. I'm serious. I mean, you can have a perfect argument record. This is fail-proof. Watch this. You will not lose an argument again for the rest of your life. But this method is also the hardest thing you will ever do. Arguments, disagreements, are such a huge part of our life, especially, and I'm picking on social media, because that's where you get in a lot of arguments. In fact, I saw one yesterday. There was a young man posted something, and it was very offensive. And y'all, I wanted to say something bad. I even text Pastor Daphne. And I'm like, is there a holiday where pastors can say something for one day and not get in trouble? And she's like, no, grow up. And I wanted to say something. And I remember, y'all, let me tell you something. The backspace button is your friend, and it is a blessing from the Lord. And I just had to pray and say, ooh, Holy Spirit, help me right now. And I had to get away from that because I wanted to say something. And we get in those moments. And you know what? You might want to roast somebody. You might want to tell somebody off. And they might deserve it. But at the end, is it worth it? Because like I just said just a little while ago, we don't oftentimes represent Jesus very well when we're engaging in those kind of situations, when we're engaging in those kind of arguments. So here it is. This is why you came. This is why you paid the big money for admission this morning. The way that a Christian or anybody can win every single argument that they find themselves in. The bell rings, come on, and you're ready to go. You're ready to fight. It's a showdown. And the way that you can win every single time, I promise, is this. There was a movie starring Matthew Broderick called War Games. Anybody seen that movie? It's like one of those 80s movies. It's kind of campy, and it's really good. I think it's a classic. It's kind of like a sci-fi movie. And in this movie, Matthew Broderick's character, he's trying to hack in to play a game online. And he actually hacks into this NORAD computer that controls the United States nuclear arsenal. And his character thinks he's playing a computer game, but the computer is actually controlling the real nukes. And so even though it thinks it's playing a game and he thinks he's playing a game, he almost starts unwittingly World War III. And so the computer gets ready to launch the nukes, and Matthew Broderick's character is really freaking out because he's thinking, well, this is not how this was supposed to go. And the thing gets ready to launch the nukes, and the Soviets are going to launch their nukes, and it's going to be the end of the world. It's going to be the apocalypse. And the computer runs a bunch of simulations, and it stops itself. And it says, it gives Matthew Broderick's character this message, and it says, this is a strange game. The only way to win is to not play. And so now we know this is how we win every argument, is we don't play. The only way to win is to not play. The only way that you can adequately represent Jesus, the only way that you can adequately promote love through those kind of situations is to not get involved. And how hard is that? Because sometimes they deserve to get that rebuke. They deserve to hear that. But listen, we know that we're redeemed. We know that Jesus has our backs. We know that the presence of God walks with us. So why do we need to commit to these things? Why do we need to fight like that? We don't. We don't have to. And it's a really difficult thing. And it's a really, 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 really hard thing, guys. But at the end of the day, I often ask myself, does it matter? Does it matter if your opinion, if you get to jump in the argument and win, does it matter at the end of the day? Because I want to ask you a question, just a really real question. What matters more, your victory in an argument or the person you're arguing with's soul? What is a greater prize? Because we can say things that hurt, and it's really hard for those wounds to heal. I read a proverb from, I don't know if it was some philosopher, and that philosopher said, it's better to throw a rock than an insult. Because a rock can be retrieved. Someone said, before you burn a bridge, you must first learn how to swim. It's not worth it. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is something I struggle with. Because sometimes you want to defend yourself. Sometimes you want to defend your family or your friends. And it's really difficult to see someone saying ugly things and someone saying things that are factually inaccurate. And you want to just jump in there and go to town. But I don't think that's what we're called to do. I don't think we're called to roast people. I don't think we're called to jump in arguments and win and make everyone else look silly. I think we're called to just tell the truth about Jesus. I think we're called to live Christ in front of people and to love people enough that they come to know Jesus. So there's no reason for us to fight the way the world does. There's no reason for us to bicker and feud the way the world does. Because we know the truth of God. And that's what Paul writes here. We don't need to fight like the world does. Because we know true victory. The Bible in numerous places says, do not argue. It says, avoid foolish speech and foolish arguments. The book of Proverbs says that arguing is like pulling a dog's ears. And I'm going to tell you what happened to my son. We have a German Shepherd, which are also called land sharks. And my son, he's got these big ears that stand up. And I could see Jonah one day. He's walking towards the dog. The dog's name is Jace. And he's looking at these ears, and I'm like, dude, leave that dog alone. And sure enough, he grabs his dog's ears and yanks, and that dog turns, and he didn't snap, and I was scared because I was trying to get to my boy. I didn't want that dog to bite him, and he just kind of grabbed. You know how a dog will kind of get something in their mouth, and that's kind of what he did to Jonah's arm. And I thought, man, he could have gotten hurt there. But That's what book of Proverbs is saying. It's engaging in arguments is ignorant because it's something that gets us hurt. You know what? If you yank on a dog's ear, you hurt that animal. But when it turns around and bites you, it hurts you. So everybody involved gets hurt. And that's what happens with arguments. That's what happens when we engage in that kind of stuff. Everybody gets hurt. And that's what the robot, the computer program in the movie War Games said. It said, this is called, when it ran all the simulations, it said a phrase called mutually assured destruction, that everybody loses. And so I just want to challenge you this morning as we get ready to dismiss. Let's stay away from those things. Let's stay away as people, as victorious people of God. Let's stay away from silly arguments that don't really matter at the end of the day. Because I don't know if maybe you have convinced somebody through an angry argument. I've never seen it done. It's never happened to me. And I've never heard of anyone else convincing someone through an angry argument. I've watched a lot of news segments where the Democrat and the Republican sat there and screamed at each other for 10 minutes. And I've never once seen them at the end say, you know what, you were right. When you were screaming at me, I was really paying attention to you. And you know what, you were right. I've never seen that happen. And the best way to tell the truth, the best way to win an argument is to not get involved. And the best way to show somebody the truth of Jesus is to live that truth and to love them in such a forward and big way that doesn't even make sense. That they come to know him, that they come to know his love. And then they say, you know what? I'm not going to engage in this kind of stuff because I've got victory. Why do I need to fight when I already have victory? It doesn't matter. Ephesians 4:29 says, build each other up. Build. And that's what we want to be. We like to talk at Community Church Northwestern. We like to talk about building the kingdom, doing good things, doing great things for people, working, serving the kingdom of God. And we want to build. We want to build people up and not tear them down. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did for us. Instead of letting us rot where we were in our sin, what's it say? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we were yet living in an angry, nasty place, Christ died for us. So we don't have to fight. So we don't have to engage in those things. So we can live in victory. Amen. I want to pray with you today before we dismiss. If you'll stand with me. And if you've got someone on your mind, someone that needs help, maybe they're facing bad attitudes or going through those kind of things. Maybe you know someone that's got sickness in their home or needs a touch from God. I want you to just raise your hand as we're praying, and just we're going to believe together for their situation. God, I just pray right now. God, that you begin to bless each and every person that's here. God, each and every person that's listening or watching this message. God, I pray that something I said struck a chord with them, God. That hearts are open to you. God, there's no reason for us to fight. There's no reason for us to bicker when we've got you, when we've got your victory. I just pray for sickness, God, that you would begin to heal, that you would begin to restore. I pray for my friends, God, and their families, that you would bless them, that your presence would surround them, that they would know your peace, and that they would see your face. And we ask all these things and praise you.